Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful. Today. I'm gonna be joyful. Ooh, I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day.
Ooh.
This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy down in my heart. Today.
Good morning. Good Sunday morning to you. I got the joy down in my heart. You know, I love it. My DJ must know that I really needed to hear that song this morning. And not because of anything that's going on in life, but because of the fact I just like that song. I love that song. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to be joyful no matter what's going on in any circumstances. Let's always remember we got joy because we got Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior sitting on the throne right now interceding for us. And we got the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. My name is Charles T. Runner for Christ Ministries. We welcome you to Runner for Christ Ministries this morning, Sunday morning worship service. And we're in Sunday school right now. And got a couple requirements as to what's going on. Number one, background noise. If you're going to answer questions or you're not going to answer questions, whichever one goes, try to keep the background noise to a minimum. In other words, if you're not answering questions, mute your phone. Let me see. One of the other requirements is that if you are going to be involved in this class, don't hesitate at all to chime in. All you have to do is press 1 on your phone, and it'll allow you to get right in here with us. And let's see. If you want the questions or the syllabus that we're working off of, you can go to our website on your computer, rfcm.org. Type in Sunday morning worship service, and it should pull up what you need to see to answer the questions or to bring, it's not really questions, it's just us going through some scripture, or to bring your what for and how to what we're doing today. But right now, the first thing that we should have did was go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, our Father, we thank you this morning for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for your written word that we have. We have to remember sometimes, Father, that the people that was writing this down had no idea except when you expose yourself to them, just like if you did us. But they did this years ago just for us, Father, and it's carried down through the days, through the hours, through the centuries, Father, and it's still in play. Your word is a light unto our feet, a light unto our path, and a guide to our feet, Father. So we thank you for that. Right now, let's get into what it is that you have us to do. thank you for the opportunity to sit here in this seat. Move me completely out the way. Let this be you, not me, Father. Because, see, I'm just a work in progress, too, and I'm learning as we go along. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we have been talking about, for the last some team weeks, about not what just what we believe, but why we believe what we believe. And not just knowing what, but why. We talked about Jesus, and now we're in this session talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and the church. If you're going to be involved, like I said, free to jump in whenever you want to. If not, we're going to get right into this lesson today. And the memory verse that we have for today reads as follows. It's John 14:17 in the New Living Translation. And it says, He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Now, let's just move on right on to the not questions, but the scripture that we're going to start covering this morning. Now, what we have to remember is, as Jesus promised, the Holy Spirit remains with the church and will be in those who believe in him forever. To do what? Let the scriptures tell us just what the Spirit does for us and in us. Now, before I say that, I'm going to say this. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I hope you do so real soon. Because, you see, even though the Spirit lives in us, somebody I was talking to the other day said something to me that stuck with me. And here's what they told me. They said, God thinks it, Jesus speaks it, and the Holy Spirit does it. And if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have all three of them working for you. God loves everybody. That's why he sent Jesus. Jesus loves everybody. He came down to die so that we might have eternal life for everybody. But now when it comes to the Holy Spirit is there. But just like I said before, he doesn't move until you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And it's a three package thing. That's the only way I can think of to put it. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they work together as one. And it would almost be like maybe I'm wrong with this analogy, but I'm going to say it like it is. If you had a tire that required three lugs to hold the tire in place, and you didn't put one of them on there, the tire wouldn't roll right. So you gotta have Jesus in order to have the Holy Spirit. Now, let's move on to what we were talking about a few minutes ago. We got some scriptures we gonna get read. I don't know if I have any scriptures readers. If I got any scriptures readers, let me know. If not, we just gonna keep on moving. The first scripture that we're going to today is Romans chapter 8, verse 9. And it reads as follows. Remember now what I said before. We're going to let the scriptures tell us what the Spirit does for us and in us. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 reads as follows. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. I know that seems kind of harsh, but remember what I said about that tire. If you don't have all three of them lugs on there, that tire not going to roll right. And what I said a few minutes ago, God thinks it, Jesus speaks it, and the Holy Spirit is the one that does it. Now, when I was looking at that verse, I said to myself, okay, so the Holy Spirit does for us and in us. What is the Holy Spirit doing for us when we look at this verse? Well, when it talks about being controlled, we have to understand that there are two natures. Everybody got two natures. You got the good and the bad, okay? You got your sinful nature, and then you got the one that rose with Christ. And if you, whichever one you feed the most, that's the one that's going to grow. But just like we read here, if you don't have the Spirit of God living in you, you're not rolling with God. And if you're not rolling with God, you're not rolling with His Son, Jesus. And if you're not rolling with Him, that tire wobbling, and it's wobbling bad. Okay, another scripture. You know, I'm just sidebar. In John chapter 17, go with me. Matter of fact, yeah, John chapter 14, I'm sorry. John chapter 14, verses 17 and 18 reads as follows. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you know Him, because He lives with you now and later will be in you. Now, here we're talking about Jesus was talking to His disciples. But at the same time, you know, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you consider yourself as being one of Jesus' disciples, a follower. And even though we like to say that the Bible is antiquated, you got some people that say that it's just a book that somebody wrote. It's not. And you don't come to understand that, you don't come to know that, you don't come to feel that until you start to walk with Him and come to understand and know just who He really is. And that's what the Spirit does for us. When we talked about that verse just now, the Spirit allows us control. It helps us maintain control, self-control, whatever control is necessary to make it through these lives that we have to go through. Let's move on. Like I say, if I got anybody else that want to jump in and read, feel free. Moving on to the next verse that we're going to cover. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living with you, within you. In that verse, what do we see? The Spirit of God gives life. He's, I don't know if it sounds right, but I'm going to go back in time a little bit. Not in time, but in our time, so maybe we'll understand it a little better. I don't know how many of y'all had Jerry curls back in the day. But you know, it was a certain thing in there called activator that just had to make that hair pop like it was supposed to be. And the Holy Spirit is the activator. Like it says here, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. We all know, and if you don't know, Jesus went to the cross and He died. But this Spirit, being with God and in Jesus, had the power. And see, the power was given to Him. When Jesus said, I don't know exactly where it is, I do know what it says, is that Jesus said, I'm going back, and I'm going to send one that's going to come to be with you. And that's the Holy Spirit that we're talking about right now. And He lives inside, I might repeat it over and over again, every believer. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, He'll give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. When we hear about that, we kind of got to go over to 1 Corinthians. So jump with me, if you would, for a minute. And let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you hear the pages, that's my Bible. Turn it over. and verse 45. And let's see here. 2 Corinthians 15:45. It reads as follows. The scriptures tell us the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. And when you get a chance, if you read through 1 Corinthians, it'll tell you all in chapter 15, it'll tell you everything that you need to know about what happens to us when we leave here. Like it says here, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? What a foolish question. It talks in depth about what we've just read about the Holy Spirit giving life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you.
Can I jump in, okay, teacher?
I'm sorry?
Since you referenced teacher 1545, let's go to the source of that verse, which is Genesis 2. And verse 7.
Genesis 2:7. And that says this, in the beginning, wait a minute, Genesis 2:7. Okay. Then the Lord, hello, my teacher, how are you this morning?
Good morning.
You left me alone. That was, I see, I had that written down on my page. I was going to read that. No, but let's read that. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Now while we're there, is it okay to jump back to, let me see, when God said, okay, is it okay to jump back to, if it's okay with you, when it, in verse 1:26, it says, then God said, let us make human beings in our own image to be like us. They will reign over the fish. But when God said, let us make man in his own image, just like we just read in verse 7, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. The reason I brought those two together, because I want you to understand, like for instance, when it talks about in Genesis 1, that God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son have always been in place. But I like when teacher just brought out, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and man became a living person. This say, if we go all the way back over to where we was at in Romans, what you got to understand is that while we're there, I go back to Romans. Get back to when it talks about he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same living spirit. You know, those two things work hand in hand. We're in mortal bodies now. When it talks about God breathing life into man, the same breath that you got inside of you right now was breathed into you by God, and you're in this mortal body. But you will be once again raised to life.
So, teacher, let's go back to that person in Genesis.
Okay.
What is the name of the Holy Spirit? What does spirit mean in Genesis?
The breath of God.
Ruach, wind, breath.
So he's the source of life. So now we can tie it to Romans 8 and 11.
Thank you. Okay. That was Minister Janice Tate. She's not going to say who it was, but that's my teacher. So I have no problem at all her jumping in and, you know, straightening some things out if I get a little bit off track. Not so much off track, but just, you know, keep it back on the road. Because like I say, we're trying to find out, let the spirits tell us just what the spirit does for us and in us. So he breathes life into us, and he continually breathes life into us. Okay, moving on. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13.
Do you want me to read that for you, Deacon?
If you feel like it, you can.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live.
Okay. Now, if anybody didn't understand that, we can kind of just read it again, or you read it again, because it's perfectly clear as to what it says. You know, when I read that and I said, okay, Holy Spirit, what does that do for us? It gives us the power over our sinful nature. The Holy Spirit gives you power over your sinful nature. And we all have to admit that, I don't know about you, but sometimes before I get up in the morning, I'm thinking about some craziness. But we have a nature, and it's a war that goes on inside of each and every person, whether to do the good or the bad, what's right or what's wrong. And the Holy Spirit gives us power over that nature. Whenever you feel like you can't, but I'm kind of jumping ahead. I'm not going to touch that right now because we're going to hear about it. We got somebody in the sea for us later on. But it gives us power over that nature. When I think about that word power, I think about when Jesus went back to heaven and says, all power, when he was praying to his Father in the garden. He said, restore me back to that place that I was. But God gave Jesus all power that he had before. All power was given unto him. God didn't necessarily release the reins to him, but he did. He said, okay, son, you did what you were supposed to do, so this is yours. And we have to understand that same power through the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of each and every one of us. So if you're struggling sometime with something, always feel free to go and ask the Holy Spirit for help, because that's what he's there for. Jesus said, I'm going to send somebody that's going to help you through this. Thank you. Was that Sister Rebecca? Okay. Who read that verse?
Sorry, I was
June. I thought that was you. Good morning, Dr. Rogers. See, I'm blessed today. I got my two doctors talking to me. I got Minister Janice Tate and Dr. Rogers. Thank you very much for that input. Okay. I guess next we're going to move on to Romans chapter 8, still in Romans. And if somebody out there can read for me verses 14 through 16.
Okay, I'm still there, so I'll finish if you want. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children.
For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. It tells us here that we have not received a spirit that makes us fearful slaves. Instead, we receive God's Spirit when he adopted us as his own children. And we all know what adoption is. If you don't, a doctrine is when you go get something that maybe you didn't birth or maybe that, you know, didn't come from you and bring it on to your family as it was yours. And that's what God did for each and every one of us. Now, it says that the Spirit, God's Spirit, when he adopted us as his own children, now we call him Abba Father. Abba Father. I was looking, I had to look. The Holy Spirit asked me, did I know what Abba Father meant? And I've been saying it over and over again, but I really didn't. And when I read, when I looked up and saw what it meant, I say, Abba Father basically just means daddy. And any of us out there that has fathers, that have fathers, and that have children, know when somebody calls you daddy, that means they have a personal, strong relationship with them, with you. And as a man, to hear daddy, even in them circumstances when things might not be going right, that lets me know that whenever I'm called daddy, that it's either something going on, well, no, it's something going on, whether it be good or bad. But that Abba Father, I remember when Jesus said that to his father, God the Father, his father, it helped me to understand about the relationship that they have with each other. And being adopted means the Holy Spirit brought us into a family where we have that same kind of relationship to where we can go to God about anything and say, Daddy. You know, Minister Jonathan Tate, Pastor Jonathan Tate, he introduced me to that, the Daddy, calling God the Father Daddy, going to him and talking to that way. And that's how you talk to somebody, like I said, when you really have a close relationship with them. Okay. Now, let's move on a little bit here. Romans chapter 8. Let's back up a minute because I just reread verse 16. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. All right, moving right along. Now, this is a verse that a lot of you all are familiar with, so we're going to go ahead and read that. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And I'm going to throw this verse 26. It reads as follows. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Whenever you're in a situation that you think you're all by yourself, you got to remember, just like we read earlier, that Jesus said he was going to send somebody and he was going to be with you. When he told his disciples back in John chapter 14, he said, he's not just going to be with you, he's going to be in you. And the Holy Spirit for us as believers is always there. And even right here when it talks about when we don't know what God wants us to pray for, he jumps in. And he prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. You ever went to God to pray and just didn't know what to say? Or it sounded like it wasn't coming out right? But God doesn't necessarily listen to what you're saying. He hears from the Spirit who lives inside. And then the Spirit brings out. So when it talks about groaning, sometimes we go to the Father and we don't know exactly what to say or how to say it. There have been times when I prayed where I just said, like Jesus say, Abba, Father, Daddy. I just don't know. But the Spirit of God, and believe me, people, this is really true and really real, because all of a sudden you get that feeling, and it's not just a feeling. But you get that assurance that there's somebody else there with you, that there's somebody there with you. And here it talks about this. It took me a long time to come to understand this. But when it says, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that could not be expressed with words, and the Father knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. It's really an awesome thing. I really don't know how to explain it, and I don't, but it's real. And it really is. And like I say, I'm going to just let the word speak for itself right now. Okay, you know, you're not, I'm going to just add a little bit something to that. You know, you're not left on your own. Remember we read earlier, we've been adopted into a family, and God never leaves us or forsakes us. He don't, no matter what goes on. So when you're at that point, and you feel like you just don't know what to say, and you just don't know what to do, that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. Okay. First Corinthians 3:16. Like I said, you might hear the pages turning. This because I'm sitting here with my Bible. And as we talk about this, I'm going to
skip
it.
One. Did you skip a verse?
We went 8:26. 8:26.
Now we got 8:26b and 8:27.
Okay.
So did we merge the two?
I think I did the two together, but let's go back. And the Father knows all hearts, 8:26b, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. So
to help with those who are following along on their paper, 8:26 was that the Holy Spirit helps us pray. And then the 8:26b and 27 is that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with the will of God. In other words, he prays the will of God on our behalf. That's for clarity.
Okay. All right, let's move on to 1 Corinthians 3:16. Ooh. 1 Corinthians 3:16 reads as follows. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit lives in you? And while I'm there, I'm going to read 6:19. with it, and then we'll talk about that for a minute. Don't you realize that your body, 1 Corinthians 6:19 reads as follows, don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. Scriptures tell us what the Spirit does for us and in us. But here it tells us, don't you realize that your body and we don't belong to ourselves? It's like in 3:16, don't you realize all together are a temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? So, well, that means to me that you, that not so much me, that means that everywhere you go, God is with you. You know, we know what temples are, and that's where deities reside. That's the only way I can think of to put it. You know, you have the Spirit of God in you everywhere you go. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter where you go, how long you're there, he's with you everywhere that you go. And that should prompt you, just knowing that, to want to make sure that you take in places that he doesn't, you keep him away from places he doesn't need to be in. And see, that's what he does for us. When we realize that he is in us all the time, we sometimes have to come to understand that, you know, I don't, maybe I shouldn't go there. Maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe I shouldn't, period. Because when I read that and they say, don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God, you did not belong to yourself. This is a gift. It's like, you know, he should help us, and he does help us if we allow him to help us to stay away from things that we know just aren't right. It talks about him leading and guiding us. But when you look at yourself as to whose you really are and what you really are, that should help each and every one of us to know that we don't belong to ourselves. When I was reading that, I was writing down some one-word answers, and I came up with the answer ownership. Ownership. I came up with the word ownership. I'm sorry, not the answer. Ownership. We sometimes like to think that we're self-sufficient, but in truth, we're really not. You know, we belong to God, saved and sinner alike. We belong to God. Back when we learned, when Minister Tate brought it up, the fact that, you know, and he breathed life into us. He was made by us. So we're here. So being a believer, we have to come to realize that if we don't own, we have read earlier about how we've been adopted into his family. If we don't own it, it's not ours. It's just simply, it's only ours because it was given to him. It was given to us by him. Okay. Well, nope, can't answer no phone calls. If you hear a little beep, that's my phone ringing. Not answer that. Sorry about that. I'm just sidebar. I know we're on class, but I have to use hearing aids. So sometimes you might, I talk through my hearing aids, so sometimes you might hear a beep when the phone is ringing. You're going to know it. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 7.
I can read that, Deacon.
I'm sorry?
Okay. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7 says, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping featureless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of a special knowledge. Oh, I went too far. Okay.
Okay, you're supposed to stop at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Stop talking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Okay. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your questions about special abilities that the Spirit gives us. When Paul was writing this, as I was reading that, he is obviously talking to some folks that was having some problems with some things. Okay. And we all got to admit that we have problems with things, okay? That's just me. You know, we have problems with things. And when it says here regarding your questions about special abilities that the Spirit gives us, he said, I don't want you to misunderstand this. And then he goes on to say, when you were still pagans, okay, when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept aside in worshiping speechless idols. Now, and it goes on the next verse, so I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, okay? And no one can say Jesus is Lord. No, in other words, I want no one to speak. When I read that, I said to myself, okay, Lord, please explain to me what that means. And, you know, it came back like this. I just got to keep it plain. If you really had the Holy Spirit of God in you, you can't curse Jesus. That's impossible. That's absolutely impossible. You know, if you say that you have the Spirit of God in you, I'm going to turn that around and you curse Jesus, that's a lie. Because you can't possibly, darkness and light cannot occupy the same space. That's the only way I can think of to put it. You know what I mean? And Jesus is light. So you can't do that. See, and it goes, like I said, God's not in you. You know, and no one can say Jesus and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I like how this word just speaks for itself. It doesn't mix words. If you read this or you hearing this, you know, I don't know what your response would be to try to make this not be what it says, but I would love to hear it because that's impossible. And then he goes on to talk about there are different kinds of spiritual gifts. The word that I got when I was doing my one word analogy reading this was that he gives us gifts. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of all of them. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same God. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. And read verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. I'll never forget when we took a class about spiritual gifts. And I love my sister, Sister Janice, is because we took a class and we kind of, I remember we checked out what gifts we thought we had. And sometimes, you know, you come back and after you, like I say, want to say, do the math, you realize that maybe that's not what I'm really gifted in. But God has given each and every one of us a gift.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get an opportunity, you just need to find out just what that gift really is. And you got that same Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. So if you ask God, he'll freely answer you. So that's another thing about having the Holy Spirit with you. Somebody else's phone ringing. Okay. Yeah. if you have asked God, he'll freely answer you. And he will.
So Deacon, who gives us the gift?
Who gives us the gifts?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going back to God thinks it, Jesus speaks it, and the Holy Spirit does it. So if the Holy Spirit is doing it, that seems like they come from you.
Answering the question, you know, what does the Holy Spirit do for us and in us? He gives us spiritual gifts.
Yep. And I like it when it says spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So when you look at it that way, this is just me, let's say, when you look at it that way, you know how Jesus went on back to heaven, right? It's just me talking now. Jesus went on back to heaven. He's seated on the right-hand side of the Father, which us believers know. Scripturally, we know he's there. So I don't want to say, no, he smiled laughing. Now he said, go ahead and say it. Jesus, when he went back, he said, okay, I'm going back to when he talked about, Jesus said, I'm going on back. And then, like he said, I'll send you one that's coming. It helps me to understand more the triune God. Because even though they all work and they got Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, they still work in conjunction with each other. But everybody just do a different job now.
So
the Holy Spirit is here now for us to help us navigate through this. Jesus did everything he was supposed to do while he was here. And he went back and took his rightful place seated next to the Father. Now, what we live off of is what the Spirit does for us right now. The Spirit is, like I talked about the activator before, the Spirit is the one that activates through us to make sure that we're able to navigate through this. But they still are in conjunction with each other. I got to go back to that love and loveness again. They still all just turning that wheel. They still communicating. But it's a wonderful thing to know that when it's just a good thing to know. It is. It's a good thing to know that, you know, the three of them are working together. And I ain't gonna get into that because then we'll start talking about how people don't understand the triune God. Anyway,
I look at that as passage as having teamwork. Because like you said, we have many gifts and everybody has different gifts. And it says in the footnote, some people, though they were more spiritual than others because of their gifts, this was a terrible misuse of spiritual gifts because their purpose is always to help the church function
more effectively, not to divide it. And we can be divisive if we insist on using our gifts our own way without being sensitive to others. We must never use our gifts as a means of manipulating others or serving our own self-interest. So, teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not lose track of, though, the subject today is what does the Holy Spirit do for us and mm-hmm. us? Because we're getting the weeds talking about a lot of other stuff. So let's stay focused on what the Holy Spirit does for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all a part of the Holy Spirit. Okay.
Okay, Galatians. Chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. If you got your Bible, jump over there with me. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Anybody want to read that, or am I up reading again? I need a reader. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and jump on that one. But whoever, I need somebody after this to read Ezekiel 36:27 for me. I'm going to go ahead and attack this Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and through 18. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your simple nature craves. The simple nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the simple nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. What does this do for us? Freedom from sinful desires. But we have to understand, too, that you're, like it says at the end, but you're not free. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. We reverse, but you're not. You are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your own good intentions. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is that's the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Here the Spirit gives us direction. It gives us some freedom, but it gives us direction. And, you know, without direction, you lost. But it also gives us definite direction. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the simple nature is. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry. And when it talks about these two forces are constantly fighting, that lets you know that there's a constant battle going on. But if you lean toward the simple, if you lean toward the old nature, you're going to lose. If you lean toward the old nature, you lose.
Did we read Ezekiel 36:27
before
we
answer
that?
I'm about to go ahead now.
Make sure you do that, because it'll help tie it together.
Okay, here we go. I thought I'd get somebody in there to read it, but let's see. Ezekiel 36.
I can read it. Ezekiel 36:27.
And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations.
Here we go. There we go. Class over for the day. Okay. There we go. There we go. Like you said, that ties it all together. If you have the Spirit of God in you, if you got the Holy Spirit with you, I love it when I read scriptures that say that we win. And I will put my spirit in you so that you follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. Now, the other side to that is that if you don't do what God says, what the Spirit tells you to do, you can't come back and say that you didn't know. You know, that's the one thing that I love about the Word and what I've been going through. Y'all pray for me because I don't want to say it was a struggle, but you can't say that you didn't know. And once you get something and you realize it, like I said, now you can't say that you didn't know. And I want to go to James, but, he that don't know what to do and do it not as a sin, but we know, too, that the Spirit always leads us and guides us in the right direction. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. We read in the beginning in John chapter 14 was Jesus said that one would come, the Spirit of God. We went through this morning scriptures that told us that the Spirit of God, he took us in different directions, told us what we want to do. He helped us, give us eternal life, power of simple nature. We know we God's child. He had a seed for us. We got unity and ownership, and we got gifts. And now we see that in Ezekiel chapter 27, the Spirit is in us, if we follow the decrees and we got to follow the decrees and be careful to obey all the regulations. Let's see. I was hoping I would get through this. Look, that's not going to happen because we got about 3 minutes before it's a wrap today. We got a few more verses that we're going to cover. I guess we back at this next week. Hopefully by then, for those that know, we'll be standing, but I'm kind of liking sitting here at the table, learning myself. I will say this, I appreciate Minister Janice for jumping in and helping me with this. And I thank each and every one of you that have tuned in. I hope you got something out of this. I want you to know that as I'm doing this, I'm definitely getting something out of this, because the great part about it is that when you come to know that the Spirit of God lives inside of you, and then you've come to learn just what he does for us and in us. And when we say in us, that means that we have a responsibility too, to not just know this, but to act on what we know. We got 3 minutes. I'm going to pray us out of here. Lord God, our Father, we thank you once again for looking into your word. Father, I just thank you for your word. I really do. That's all I can say. Without it, we're lost. With it, we win. And the family that we've been adopted to as believers, it's a win-win situation. But thank you for helping us navigate through these lives that we live here. The world we know is obsessed with itself. Let it be, Father, that we become obsessed with you and your word. In Jesus' name I pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Deacon Tate. Thank you for that lesson this morning on the Holy Spirit. And we can't wait to hear more. I like what you said about activating the spirit with the Jerry Curls and the activator.
Yeah, I heard that. I think Tony Evans said that once. And that just kind of, that kind of stuck with me. I said, I never thought about it that way. Because, them Jerry Curls back in the day, You know, if you didn't get that activator right, you just had. But anyway, all right. Thank you for tuning in. I'm just a work in progress. All right, I love you. I'm gone. Goodbye.
And the other one was good, too, about the wheel with the lugs being not on correctly. Both those were cool. Good analogy.
Yeah. All right. I'm out of here.
Have a good day. Thank you. Yeah. For the love. You can't wait to hear more next week.
All right.
Have a great day. All right. Get your cookies, your crepes, your crumpets, and coffee and tea. And on the other side of this song, we will start our morning worship service. See you on the other side.
Father, I give your name praise and glory and honor. I bless you for being my everything. I thank you right now, God, for being my provision, my leader, my guide, my comforter, my friend, my companion. Today I owe you my prayer. I owe you my worship. Hallelujah. I bless you, God, for being the greatest God in the whole world. I will sing to you in this holy place. I will tell you. I will pray to you.
I will pray to you
in my secret place.
In my secret place.
Yeah. For you are my everything.
For you are my everything.
Yeah, I stand and give you glory and praise. For you are my everything. Hallelujah. Come on, stand and take 3 seconds to begin to worship God right now. I don't care where you're standing. I want you to lift up your holy hands and begin to offer for worship. Of appreciation to the Lord for being your everything. Before all mankind, I will continually praise your holy name for the rest of my life. I can stand and testify that none compares to you. For you are El Shaddai. Oh yeah, you are my everything. Father, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor. For you are my everything. Hallelujah. Father, I bless your holy name this day. And God, I will let the whole world know how great you are. What an awesome provider. What an awesome comforter. What an awesome friend. What an awesome God. I just want to testify a second. You're my life. Lord, you're my strength. You're everything to me. Even when I feel like giving up, you're my joy. So divine. Yes, you are. Surpasses all understanding. When I don't know where I'm going to turn to, Lord, you're my hope in the time of trouble. Even when I don't know where my next meal is coming from, somehow, someway you make a way. You're my life. You're my strength. Lord, you're everything to me. And I gotta testify that you are my life. You step right in on time. You became my hope in the time of trouble. When the gas prices went high, you still made a way. You are my life. You're my strength. Yeah. You're my joy. When I feel like crying, when I feel like giving up, when I feel like throwing in the tower, you become the peace that surpasses.
You are our everything, Lord. You are everything, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Run for Christ Ministries Sunday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Run for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this service is happening. At Run for Christ Ministries, we believe in vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. This morning, we are going to read our proclamation, and we have this morning to help us do so is our very own member, Sister Rebecca Johnson. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Great, thank you.
Okay, good morning, everyone. This is Sister Rebecca Johnson, and it reads as follows, why we are here for proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service now or later. Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lifts up Jesus, so that all those who are lost today will be found today. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Rebecca, for that. You know, we appreciate you, and have a great day.
You do the same.
Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life.
Next time somebody try to tell you you're not worth this, you're not worth that, you better tell them, shut up. I was to die for. God gave his only begotten son, the greatest, most awesome gift in existence. God couldn't come with nothing better than his son for me. And you trying to tell me I ain't this, I ain't that? I'm sorry, but I can't accept that. Amen. Behind a song like that, you know what? When we find out that we are worth that much to God, did you know you were worth that much? Your self-esteem just went through the roof, didn't it? Your self-esteem is just all over the filled up the whole house, haven't it? Wherever you at, the self-esteem just filled up. Why? Because you just found out that you are worth the price of God's son. Amen. When it was asked, how much will it cost to save them people on the earth who have eaten from the tree of knowledge without permission, and now they're dying? Jesus. No angels, the good or the bad ones, they couldn't do it. But Jesus did it. And God wouldn't spare the expense to get you. You better get your head up out of low self-esteem and get where you belong. Behind a song like that, all we can do, come on, church. Whole church said amen.
Let the church. and I have everything to make salvation complete. 'Cause I know the work is already done by the power of his blood. I know it's mine. It belongs to me. Makes my healing complete. It doesn't matter how I feel. When his stripes say I am healed, I know it's mine. It belongs to me. Hey. And it belongs to me. All blessing belongs to me.
Good morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. You know, the whole service has been talking about Jesus. And that last song that was played is talking about everything that God has for us is ours. But the only way we will receive what God has for us is if we move out of the way and let him work through us to bless us in the way that he wants us to be blessed. Our great God, our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. And we are so grateful that you let us hear your word this morning. You let us hear that you are the Holy Spirit and you reside in us forever. But the only way you can reside in us is if we let you in. The Holy Spirit can't get inside of us if we refuse to let him in. And your word says in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, that you have given us the power to walk over snakes and scorpions. You have also given us the power to overcome every power of the enemy. And the only way we can experience the illumination of the Holy Spirit that is in heaven, is if we let you in and let you work through us to get through this Christian life, Father. You said in your word in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, you said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But we can do nothing without the illumination of the Holy Spirit, Father. So help the body of Christ move out of the way and let you in. Help us let you reign in us. Help us let you rule in us, because you are the ruler. You are the one who reigns forever and ever inside of us, because you live inside of us, Father, and we can do nothing without your Holy Spirit. You said in John chapter 15 that we can do nothing apart from you. But with you, we can do everything, Father. So, Father, help us to let you be illuminated in our lives. Father, there is someone out there who lost a loved one this week. Help them know that even though they're going through grief, to let you be illuminated in their lives. Father, we pray for Mother Cheryl, and she has lost her husband. We pray for the Hamilton family, Father, as they have lost a father. We pray for the overall family and they have lost a brother, they have lost a cousin, they've lost an uncle. But Father, help them know that you want to be illuminated in their life today, even though they are going through grief right now. Father, you said in Isaiah chapter 53, you said that you took all our pain, you took all our shame, you took all our guilt and put it all on your shoulders. You did that so you can be illuminated in our lives. But you also did that for us so that we could live free from sin and so that we could have eternal life in you. Because, Father, this is not our heavenly home. We're just passing through. We cannot wait to be at home with you so that we can be we love being illuminated down here on earth, but we want to be illuminated when we get to heaven, Father. And that's what this whole service was about. We need to let you be illuminated in our lives no matter what we go through. And even if we go through, we need to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because God is with me. We need to say, when we're going through grief, when we're dealing with grief, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. We need to know that you want to be illuminated in our lives. Father, help us to see that if you're not illuminated in our lives in the way that you want to be illuminated in our lives, that we are living in darkness. We are letting the devil have control over you who wants control. Father, I especially pray for the preacher today. Fill him up with the word that you have given him for us to hear and obey. And fill us up with the heart to hear and to obey. But, Lord, don't just fill us up with the heart to hear and obey your word. Help us live your word out. Help us do what James help us do what James chapter 1 verse 22 says. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And Father, help us remember what you told us in Luke. You told us in Luke chapter 6 verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? Father, you are trying, you want to be illuminated. You want to be that light will never stop shining. And we're in your way. Help us to move out of the way and to live according to your word. Help us to stand on what we believe. And it's in your precious and holy name that I pray this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paula, in prayer. Thank you, Karen, Associate Pastor Chance, thank you for praying and making our request, man of God. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Amen. All right. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. So far, we are having a great time this morning with more to come. I want to just say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Sunday worship service, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Share the love, joy, the blessing, and have the best day ever. And be the reason someone smiles today. Okay? Amen. All right, time for the preach word, a message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear after this selection to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour is our very own Sister Deaconess Dr. June Rogers. Let us prepare to receive Deaconess June Rogers as she comes in her own way, her own unique way, to introduce our speaker. Amen.
Outpouring of your spirit till I can't take no more. I need you, Lord, right now. Fill me up again. Like you did way back when. I need you, Lord, right now. Fill me up again. Fill me up again. Lately I've been too busy, but I really miss you, friend. everything that you want me to be. I'm here pour out your love.
Amen, amen. Make me to be everything you want me to be. Oh my. I know pastor's always talking about this, and it happened to me this morning. It's something about when it's just you and the Lord, and you're pouring out your heart, and you're meeting spirit to spirit. So that song was awesome. And then I was listening to one a couple songs back where we asked the Spirit to break down our walls. You know, we may not be in a building right now, but let's all just take a minute to put everything aside. This is about you and the Lord, praising him, worshiping him. And so, you know, work, bills, anything that would interfere with your getting this message, let's just take a minute and shake it off. So Pastor O is going to, I believe, finish up the sermon series on the Apostle Paul. We're at part four. And the scripture reading is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. Again, that's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. It is written, "As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. On behalf of the entire Runner for Christ Ministries family, consistent with Psalm 118:26, we bless you from the house of the Lord. Welcome everyone as we are blessed to participate in this live broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. I know we've been reading and hearing from Pastor O on this set of verses for 4 weeks, but every time I read the Word of God, I get something new and fresh. This morning, the phrase, my death is near, stood out. So Paul knew that the end was near. With the analogy of a race, I wanted to know what goes through the mind of a runner when they're approaching the end. What I found is runners believe that 90% of a marathon is mental and fraught with lots of negativity that has to be managed by substituting positive thoughts. This only served to remind me that all true wisdom is founded in God. Romans 12 tells us that we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In other words, if we want to be in the game, we have to have our head in the game. Well, we have someone whose head and heart into this race, a runner who relies on the Holy Spirit to guide him into the truth and direct him to say just what each of us needs to hear from God today. Isn't that some awesome news? We are getting a message tailor-made just for us from a messenger hand-selected just for us. I'm excited. Are you? May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Okay. Repeat this after me. Pastor O, break it down for us and stand by for an important message, everyone.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon June Rogers. Appreciate you. And tell Ray I said, hey.
All right.
Amen. We give thanks to God for all that has gone before this time and everybody who has played a part, from the Sunday school teacher, Deacon Charles Tate, to Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, Sister Rebecca Johnson, Pastor Terrence Tate, amen, and everybody else who's taken a part in this service, and especially Deaconess June Rogers and Crystal. She'll be coming later with all the announcements that you need to know what's happening at Runner for Christ Ministries. Hey, if you are listening by your computer on your PC and you haven't dialed in on your phone, you're probably going to drop in about 90 seconds, okay? But don't worry about it, because after this service is over, about 10 minutes after that, this service will be posted everywhere in its entirety. So if you've called in, you don't have anything to worry about. You'll just keep hearing me. But if you've logged in, then you're going to drop in about, the lady just told me, 60 seconds. But we are continuing on. So you can get the rest of this service, or you can call in right now real fast, or you can just pick up the rest of the service at your leisure. Amen? God bless you. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today. We praise your holy name for all that has gone before this time. And we thank you for everybody who you chose to participate. You knew in eternity past who would be here today and what they would do. And we thank you for them for thinking that far back forward for us. Father, bless this word so that your people get it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so I hear your word today. And bless my heart so it receives your word today. Because I admit that my heart and my mind are not like yours. But I'm here today to be transformed, to be made new, to change the way I think, so I can always know your good, pleasing, perfect will for my life. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's awesome that God has us collectively, as we learned in Sunday school, when we get baptized into the body of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit places us in the body. Then we went to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that's when he becomes individual with us and gives us a gift or giftings so that we can make up the body of Christ, so we can have some fingers, some toes, some legs, some thighs, and all the rest of that that makes up a body. So all of us working together can get God's will done. And what is God's will? He told us over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow, as some people count slowness. Amen. But God is patient. God is willing that none should perish. God is willing that none should perish, but all have everlasting life. Amen. That's God's will. So if you're wondering what God's will is that everybody you look at get saved. That's God's will. So what should we do? We should do what Paul did, what Peter did, what those who came alongside them did, is to go everywhere with the word of God, carrying out the will of God, to see if we can get somebody saved somewhere, everywhere. Amen? Amen. I've been preaching for 4 weeks, and really it would take about 15 weeks. I estimated that Peter would take about 15 weeks because he is in all four of the Gospels, and he takes up all the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts, and he's also in chapter 15 of the book of Acts. And then Paul picks it up at chapter 9, and he carries it out to the end of the book. Okay, so both of these guys would take about 15 weeks to really preach about them. But I pray to the Lord that you do some home study. And why do you want to know about Peter? Why do you want to know about Paul? Because the Lord Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses after the Holy Spirit comes on. You see, that's one thing we need to learn right off the bat, that you cannot serve God without the Holy Spirit. That's not going to happen. That's why I thank Assistant Pastor Janice Tate. She's teaching the teachers, amen, and you heard one of the teachers this morning, and they're talking about the Holy Spirit, amen. And without him, it is impossible to serve God. Why? Because you don't have enough power to beat the devil up. Just look at Peter when Jesus told him, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crow. Peter like, no, I ain't. If all these do, I'm not. And then all the rest of them said, we don't care what Peter just said, we ain't either. Okay, and then what happened? But then if you look at these same folks over in the book of Acts, empowered by the Holy Spirit and walking in faith and walking in the power of God, oh, they can't be stopped. You can threaten them with death. They don't care. They got beat in chapter 5 and came out of the jail singing. Why? Because they had been counted worthy to suffer for Christ. That gave validity to their Christianity. Amen? like my mama used to say, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. Amen. Sometimes, like 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12, say, quiet life, mind your own business, work with your own hands, get the respect of those who are on the outside, and you ain't even said a word. Amen. So Peter and Paul, with the people that God brought alongside them to help them, managed to evangelize the whole Roman world. Two men. Amen. And they were magnetic. They attracted people to them. People came alongside them, bought into what they were doing, and started doing that same thing. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Can you look at somebody and say, hey, follow me as I follow Christ? Okay, we're going to move on. It just went crooked, right? But anyway, what we've been reading for the last 4 weeks is the end of Paul's life. This is about A.D. 67. Amen. Paul has been rearrested. He's been tossed into prison, and at this time, Peter has been rearrested. Why? Because the Roman persecution broke out. Nero, wanting to make some renovations, set some stuff on fire. The fire burned all of Rome for 9 to 10 days. He blamed it on the Christians. He said, the Christian arsonist did this, not me. And so a persecution, imperial persecution by the empire itself, broke out against the church. And they wanted to go and get the leaders of the church. Okay, and so what we're reading right here is what some folks call Paul's swan song, his soliloquy, his last words. That's why he says, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. What do you mean your life already been poured out as an offering to God? Start at Acts chapter 9. And you'll hear Jesus talk to a man named Ananias, and you'll hear him say, when Ananias was scared to go and talk to Paul because he was tearing the church up, and now he all up in Damascus with warrants trying to get more Christians to tear them up. And Jesus said, Ananias, I need you to go talk to Paul. Ananias said, Lord, have mercy. Really? Jesus, I love you. You know I love you. But this man down here attacking the church, and you want me to go where he at? Jesus told Ananias, he good to go. He's on team now. Okay? And I will show him, tell him what things he must suffer for my name. And when you start reading about Paul in that first missionary journey, okay, he started running into the devil as soon as he started. Okay, they went to Paphos, and you remember Elymas, we talked about him, his name, Bar-Jesus, you know, opposite of Jesus, a servant of the devil. He was hooked up with this man named Sergius Paulus, and he was his counsel. And as soon as Sergius Paulus was known as an intelligent man. The reason they say he was an intelligent man, because he was widely read. He understood a lot of things. He was a learner. And the Bible says that he wanted Paul to come and talk to him because he wanted to hear something about this new faith that Paul was talking about. But how many of you know, when you try to go talk to somebody about Jesus, here come Elymas with his stuff. You ever try to talk to somebody about the Lord and then Elymas pop up and start getting in the way and start trying to dissuade these people from listening to you? Well, Paul had enough of that, and Paul told Elymas, look, you always running around. He was really talking to the demon that was working through Elymas, right? You're always trying to pervert the white ways of God. Okay, here's what the Lord said. You're going to be blind for a time. Not forever, for the rest of his life, but for a time. I guarantee you Sergius Paulus got saved after that. And I guarantee you when Elymas got his sight back like Paul, he got saved. Then Paul goes to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe. Okay, and some folks from Pisidian Antioch had stirred up people. And when they got there, the bottom line is he ended up getting stoned. He went in there, preached the gospel, did a miracle, people praised him, and then all of a sudden the same people was praising him turned on him and stoned him. Isn't it something when you do good for somebody and they get mad at you? Amen. 5 minutes ago, they was calling him Hermes because he was the chief speaker, and they was calling this boy Barnabas Zeus. Why? Because he wasn't a chief speaker, but they equated him to the gods. Just 5 minutes ago. And now all of a sudden, the devil is like, hey, gods, you need to kill them. And guess what they did? They took Paul out and did to him what Paul saw them do to Stephen. When Stephen stood up for the Lord to defend the faith, he got stoned. And now here Paul is. You reap what you sow. Okay, I could pretty much end the sermon right there, right? You reap what you sow. So watch them seeds you throwing out because they going to grow up. Okay, that little seed you threw out might not do nothing to you today. But one day that seed going to turn into a full-grown plant, and you're going to have a problem. See, Paul had stood there holding the coats of them who stoned Stephen. And now he laying on the ground under the stones. He ain't dead, but they left him for dead. They was assured when they left Paul that he was dead, that he wasn't going to get up. He was sick and wasn't going to get well. Amen? But brothers and sisters, this is the kind of opposition that we're going to face if we're going to truly serve God. Now, if you just go to church, Bible class sometime, read the Bible at the crib sometime, maybe, if you got a problem, and you're trying to find the answer in there, okay, the devil ain't too concerned with you. He ain't going to fight you a whole lot. Why? Because you're really not doing nothing to tear down his kingdom. But if you like Paul, going to getting people like Sergius Paulus and Elymas and the Lycaonians, okay, if you're turning them from paganism to Jesus, well, the devil got a problem with you. But if you're that kind of Christian that go to work and you're worse than the people who ain't even saved, you don't live like Colossians chapter 3, 22 to the end say, work like you're working for Jesus and not for man, knowing that he will give you a reward for the work you do for him, and you're going to get your paycheck. Bonus, right? But you don't work like that. You go to work and do anything but work. You try to get a check for nothing. Amen? Then come happily bouncing into the church trying to give God a tithe with stolen money. But we'll take it. Don't keep the money. We will take it. We will pray for it. And then you need to pray for yourself and get your life together. Amen? So Paul is facing opposition. They're chasing him from place to place. The more he tried to preach, the more to try to kill him. This is what he's talking about. My life has already been poured out. Is your life being poured out? Or are you just living for yourself? Is it me, Joe, us four, and no more? Am I just going to sit on this pew and chew and that's pretty much all I'm going to do? Or is your life being poured out? Are you actually, how many people did you talk to last week about Jesus? Nobody? How many people did you teach to live for Jesus? I'm talking to parents now who got kids in their house. Nobody? And you wonder why your kids are so crazy. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Paul said, my life been poured out. Did you pour your life out as a drink offering for Jesus? In other words, did you give yourself to him to be used by him? Paul said, my life been poured out. And when you look back over his life, that's why with Peter, we started at the beginning of his life and saw that thing lived out, right? With Paul, we're starting at the end of his life, going back to the beginning to see how he got here to say, my life been poured out. It is sad to say that most of us just go through a whole week thinking about us, our money. We can't go nowhere. We can't do nothing. We feel like we less than. Amen, because we ain't got money to go and have all the fun this world has to offer. Amen, for me to live is Jesus Christ. That's me. It ain't always been like that, but it's sure like that now. For me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. I'm not talking about dying and going to heaven, right? I'm talking about dying to self. I heard a preacher this morning, Angelo Reed, he was preaching on Facebook. He got a Facebook church, and I tend to go there every Sunday morning so I can get charged up. Amen. And he was talking about this morning what we were talking about, the spirit lusting against the flesh and the flesh lusting against the spirit. They had war. The most of us is losing that battle because we're not, he said, like Deacon Charles Tate said this morning, whatever you feed the most, that's what's going to grow. So if you have a life of service to God that's poured out like a drink offering like Paul, then that's what's growing in you. Every week you're telling more and more folks about Jesus. And it is so easy today. See, Paul didn't have Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok. He didn't have none of that. He had to walk and talk, ride on the back of carts and horses and donkeys and ships and things. My life is poured out. Amen, like a drink offering to God. So Paul got through with that first missionary journey, ran into another problem. Some folks done come into the church and brought their stuff from the street with them. That old church they used to be in, Judaism, the Church of Judaism. And they done joined the Church of Jesus Christ where all you need to do is believe in Christ to be saved, but they saying it ain't so. You need to accept Judaism and all the tenets of it and Jesus, and you can be saved. So in chapter 15, we had the first ecumenical council. The real hero of that meeting is Peter. Yes, after he disappears, 13 and 14, because that's Paul on that first missionary journey, them 3 years, 1,400 miles, right? And they get back to Antioch, and this thing is blowing up. But Peter steps up and tells them about an experience he had in Acts chapter 10, where Jesus sent him down to a Gentile's house, literally opening up the door of the church to the Gentiles. Peter didn't even hardly get through preaching. Jesus didn't even wait till Peter said the door to the church is open. He poured out the Holy Spirit on everybody there who was believing in their hearts that Jesus was the Christ. Didn't even wait till the sermon was over. Peter had to say, seeing how Jesus ain't even wait till the sermon was over, and the Lord done poured out the Holy Spirit on them like he did on us on the day of Pentecost, how can we refuse to baptize these people? So they baptized them all. If Paul had been the one who had gone to the Gentiles first, it would be a mess. So Peter becomes the champion of the first apostolic council. And what were they trying to decide? How are we made right with God? You know the devil keeps flipping that thing up. All throughout history, as we got a Christian history class on Monday nights, and we're off the pages of the Bible now. We done leapt all the way into history. We're following Jesus from A.D. 60, or really A.D. 30, all the way up to our present day. And they're going to have seven ecumenical councils. And you know what each council is going to be about? Who is Jesus? And how are we related to him? And how is he related to God? So this would be the first of those councils about how are we made right with God. We still have churches today. We have church denominations that say you need to speak in tongues or you're not saved. That's a lie. The Bible don't say that. God said that he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him, what? Not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, wait a minute. I left a part out. And speak in tongues. Are you kidding me? The first 3,000 folks that got saved when Peter preached, none of them gave evidence of speaking in tongues. It happens. We know when Paul went through the interior of Ephesus and he found some people that Apollos had preached to, he had preached John's gospel because that's all he knew. He was trying, but he didn't know enough. Okay, Priscilla and Aquila came and taught him more excellence about that, but Paul ran into some people who hadn't been excellent yet. And Paul got to talking to him, and something seemed funny to Paul. Paul literally asked him, have you people received the Holy Spirit? They said, man, we ain't even heard about no Holy Spirit. Amen. So Paul preached to them Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection according to the scriptures, and they believed, and they gave evidence of speaking in tongues. When Peter went down to Samaria in Acts chapter 8, when those folks got saved, they gave evidence of speaking in tongues. But when Peter went to Cornelius' house, didn't nobody speak in tongues, and they all got saved. What am I saying? When God need for the person to be validated, they'll do it, and when not, not. Read 1 Corinthians 14 if you want more on that. Paul begins his second missionary journey. This time he is going to Macedonia. After they get through with that meeting and they conclude that you only need to believe in Jesus to be saved, well, now he's got a new companion. His name is Silas, because him and Barnabas kind of had a falling out. We do that sometimes. Yeah, Christians, we can fall out with each other. Yes, we can. Paul and Barnabas fell out. Paul fell out with John Mark. John Mark started out on him on the first missionary journey, but then he quit. Paul got a little upset about that and said, your boy ain't going with us on the second one. Barnabas say, stop talking about my nephew, man, my cousin. Okay, so I ain't going to be taking too many insults on my cousin. And they got into it. The Holy Spirit had to separate them. But see, all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Guess what happened? Barnabas took his little cousin Mark, or nephew or whatever he was, and he took him off to Cyprus. The word of God's going that way, because you know Barnabas was with Paul on that first missionary journey. He know how to spread the word. And then Paul took Silas, and committed by the Holy Spirit, they went off. Now, he went over the churches he had established in his first missionary journey, 1,400 miles, three plus years. And now the second missionary journey. This is going to encompass about all said and done, second and third, is going to cover about 6,000 miles. Now, his period went from 37 to about 60. But from AD 48, okay, until 58, he accomplishes his mission. Amen. I heard a preacher say that he needed a $65 million airplane that seat 18 people so he can take the word of God to the world. You have to be a super sucker to believe something like that. See, you don't never read your Bible, you believe something stupid like that. You ain't never studied Christian history either. The last place in the world that needed to hear the word of God was the Americas, North and South America. And that happened in the 1600s. Okay? Hernan Cortez and the Spanish conquistadors went to the South. They was a little crazy, but they managed to set up a Catholic church down there. It was killing people, the Aztecs. But they got over that, and they managed to. South America, that's why when you go to South America, you see more Catholic churches than anything. But when you come here to America, you find more Protestant churches than anything. Why? Because people like Roger Williams and William Penn, they came here with a free gospel. Amen? And so the Americas then had been evangelized. So to tell, if I sit here and tell you I need a $65 million plane to take the word of God to the world, I'm lying. The only people who need to be evangelized is people who've been born since the Americas were evangelized. That's it. Jesus could come back anytime. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, it says, when the gospel of the kingdom has been preached all over the world, then shall the end come. Well, the gospel has been preached all over the world. And as soon as the last person that Jesus, that the Father knows, is going to be saved, guess what? He's going to say, Jesus. Jesus is going to be like, what, Daddy? Go get your church. We call it the rapture, harpazo, snatched away, caught away in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You want more on that, go read 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Tells you all about that. We shall not all sleep, okay? All of those who have died already, since I brought it up, I might as well say something. All those who have died already, our loved ones, guess what? Their spirit and soul is right now present with the Lord. Absent from that body, they are present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Right? So when Jesus comes back, that body that we buried, cremated, shark ate it up, got blowed up in the house. I don't what got blowed up in the war and the little bitty pieces. Jesus is going to find them all, put it back together, reconstitute it, take their soul and spirit that is with him, put it in it, raise them up, and then those of us who are yet alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So don't get it in your head your loved one who passed away in Jesus is somewhere sleeping. What are you saying? God got a big old giant hotel in heaven, and everybody just get up there and go to sleep until we all get there? Oh, they very much alive. Very much alive. Let me give you a glimpse into the spiritual realm. In Matthew chapter 17, you'll read about what's called the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus grabbed a few of his disciples, James, Peter, James, and John, and they went up on the mountain. And there, Jesus was transfigured before their eyes. He was transformed. His glory was blinding, okay? His deity bust through that material, that flesh. And Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Guess what? Peter wanted to make three tabernacles. He wanted to make one for the Lord, one for Paul, for Moses, and one for Elijah. Wait a minute. What was Peter seeing? What was Peter hearing? Because they buried Moses. And Elijah took off on a chariot. But let me tell you something, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So Elijah's body, even though it took off on the chariot, that material body did not go to heaven. That soul and spirit did. I remember when Paul went to that witch down in Endor because he had run out of options. Y'all know how we do when we run out of options. We get to doing things that God haven't told us to do, trying to get an answer. Amen? So he went to the witch. And the witch was supposedly going to call Samuel back from the dead. But how many of y'all know God don't let that happen? You can't go into heaven and just snatch something out and God say, hey, where my thing go? No. God allowed Samuel to appear. And Paul talked with Samuel. And Samuel talked with Paul. They buried Samuel. They mourned him for 30 days. What was talking? What did Paul see? What did Paul hear? So our loved ones are not somewhere sleeping. They're very much alive. They're waiting for the rapture to happen so Jesus can give them that body back. Paul gets into his second missionary journey. He goes to Macedonia. He goes over those first churches he created in the first missionary journey, and he doesn't know where to go. The Holy Spirit is always going to guide you. That is one of the things he does for us. Jesus said it over there in John chapter 16, he'll show you. Amen. So he'll show you which way to go. He'll also bring to your remembrance anything the Lord has said to you. That's why you got to read that Bible for yourself. That's why at Running for Christ Ministries, we have a Bible reading class. The whole purpose of that class is to get people to look at the words for themselves. It's all right to listen to your pastor and your Bible class teachers, but sooner or later, you need to know what Jesus said. Because guess what? Humans ain't perfect. They might lie to you for their own benefit. So you need to be Berean. Remember, on his second missionary journey, Paul goes to Philippi. That's where he gets started at. He gets tossed in jail. We talked about that. And then he goes to Thessalonica. Ain't no better. They just raise up at him. And then he goes to Berea. He says this about them, that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. You know why? Because Paul would preach and Paul would teach, and they would go home from church after church. After church, they would go home after hearing the sermon, after attending the Bible class, and they would search the scriptures to see if what the Bible class teacher, preacher said was true. But we are so accepting today. We're so spiritually minded, lazy, that we will not open up the Bible. Just tell me what Jesus said. You might as well have been a Catholic in the first 1,200 years of Christianity, because that's exactly what happened. Just tell me what Jesus said. That's dangerous, because we're not Jesus. See, Jesus, he only said those things that his father told him to say. He only did those things his father told him. We're not Jesus. We might lie to you to get some money out your pocket. Amen. We have ulterior motives for saying the things we say. So you might want to be Berean and go home and search the scriptures to see if what your preachers and teachers and see if what they're saying is true. So Paul achieves breathtaking success on his second and third missionary journey, establishing all these churches, writing all these letters to these churches. The 13 of the books in the New Testament is written by Paul. And they were written to help people live the Christian life. We call them the epistles. Amen? These are the letters that Paul wrote to the churches he established to teach them how to live the Christian life. Well, his missionary journeys come to an end, and some say he begins his fourth missionary journey. He comes back to Jerusalem, right? And he runs into Jesus' brother James, the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. 3,000, 5,000, 6,000 members. James tells Paul, look, everybody here, because I got a bunch of Jews in my church, and they're still stuck in Judaism, kind of, and they've heard that you've gone all over the world preaching you only need Jesus to be saved. Check this out, Paul. This is what we're going to do. James is about to come up with a ruse. James says, here's what I need you to do, Paul. These men over here have taken a vow. They got their hair all cut off and all that, shaved their head. They're taking a vow. I need you to do the same thing and pay their expenses. Then when people see you under a vow, they'll say, oh, that stuff they said about him ain't true. He's still a practicing Jew. It did not work when the people in Asia Minor saw him, who was chasing him around and harassing him. They said, look, here's this man that's been going all over the world talking about you don't need to practice Judaism to be saved. You just need to believe in Jesus. And they jumped on him. Here we go again. The devil is mad. Why? Because Paul went. But see, Paul now, he needs to go all the way to Rome. So Paul gets arrested. Paul is a Roman citizen. Twice he brings this up. Once in Philippi, he told him, look, I'm a Roman citizen. You lock me up for nothing. People were scared to death. And now they're about to beat Paul's skin off his back. And Paul says, are you supposed to be beating a Roman citizen who hasn't had a trial and been found guilty? And when they found out he was a Roman citizen, now they got a big old problem. And then I'm speeding this up because I got to get out of here. Now Paul, being a Roman citizen, okay, has a right to appeal to Caesar. When it is learned that folks have hatched a plot to kill him and have him shipped from Caesarea back to Jerusalem, Paul says, I'm standing right now where I should be, in the court of Caesar. I appeal to Caesar. And so there he starts what's called his fourth missionary journey. Along with 276 other men he has put on a ship, headed for Rome. Paul advises them they shouldn't take off. They don't listen to him. Julius, the centurion, and the ship commander get together. They come up with a plan. They're off and running. And it seems like everything was going to be okay, and I'm sure they were looking at Paul like, yeah, I thought you said this wasn't going to work. And then all of a sudden, they enter into 14 days of night. A storm, a Euroclydon, a nor'easter, came out of nowhere. It came out of somewhere, but to them, came out of nowhere because they thought they had achieved their purpose, but they didn't. God just let them get so far out there, and then boom, everything hit. And now the ship is being tossed and turned, and Paul says to them, I told y'all not to come out here. He did a I told you so. But then he gives them some words of encouragement. He says, don't even worry about this. Why? Because Jesus had showed up in Acts chapter 23, and he woke Paul up one night and said, don't even worry about this little lockup stuff, you being arrested and sent off to, because you got to go to Rome and preach for me. And so Paul knows that no matter what happens from that time Jesus showed up, somebody finna get blessed. The time Jesus showed up and told him, you got to go to Rome, that's like when Jesus told his disciples to get in the boat and go to the other side. Nothing could stop them. If they go and get in that boat, head for the other side, nothing, the wind, the waves, the storms can pop up, but can't nothing stop him. So Paul knows he's on his way to Rome. In a storm, he's telling them, look, Jesus sent one of his angels to encourage me. And the angel told me that not one of y'all is going to be lost, but all of us are going to make it. The ship going to get tore up, but not us. And then Paul said this, and I believe that it will be exactly like he said it would be. See, that's why you got to read the Bible. You have to read the Bible so you can see what God said and believe that it will be exactly like God said it would be. So they're on this ship, 14 days of night. Sun didn't shine for 14 days. It was just night, black. And I was in the Navy. Let me tell you something. When you out there on the sea, ain't no street lights. The only lights you have is the stars. And it is so dark out there that you could see a cigarette light for 2 miles. Unbelievable. And so they're stuck in this situation, and Paul is encouraging them, telling them, we're going to make it, but everybody got to stay in the boat. How many know that Satan went and found somebody who tried to sneak off the boat? And Paul told the centurion, now Paul is running things. Did you notice that? He started at the bottom, now he's at the top. See, Jesus said, if you do everything I tell you, you'll be at the top and not on the bottom. Jesus said, you do everything I tell you, you'll be the head and never the tail. Paul went from the bottom. They wouldn't even listen to him. Now they're at the top. They're hanging on his every word. Why? Because it means their life. 276 people. Amen. So Paul tells them, unless these people stay in the ship, we can't be saved. So my man cut them the life rafts away, and everybody stayed in the ship. And then they started unloading the ship, trying to make it ride higher in the water so it wouldn't run aground. But Paul had already told them, look, the ship's going to be lost, and the cargo is a wrap. And that's what happened. The ship was torn in two, but all 276 of them made it to shore. They land in a place called Malta, okay, which is still there today, right across from Libya. It's there today, okay? And when they went ashore, that the Maltese were there. They were some kind people, and they helped them, gave them food, lit fires for them to keep them warm, okay, and provided for them, helped them to heal their little wounds and things. See how God got people? He had people waiting on them. Amen. These people had no idea the Maltese would be on that island waiting to help them. You got people waiting to help you. You just need to get through the storm to where they are. And God got your help already set up. They didn't have to get on the island and say, who's going to help us? What are we going to do? The Maltese just showed up. God got people. Amen. Paul go to make a fire. He put some wood in the fire. A snake jump out and bite him. And these people said, that man evil. Even though he escaped dying in the sea, that snake finna kill him. Paul took that snake and shook it off. Remember what it said in the book of Mark? If you drink any poison thing, you shall not be. He shook that thing off. And when them people, now watch this. Watch how fickle people are. These people who said he was evil, and the sea didn't kill him, but the snake gonna kill him? Well, now these people think he a god. Here we go again. Anyway, he get invited to this man who run the island. His name is Publius, okay? His father was sick with dysentery, okay? And they don't have the medicines that we have, so it's a wrap. But what does Paul do? Go in, grab him by the hand, and he just made whole. Hey, man. Long story short, they board a ship. They headed for Italy now. They land in Puteoli. They travel down the Appian Way, the first Roman road. And guess what? Didn't I tell you God got people? Paul arrives in Rome. He had written a letter to the church at Rome. He didn't establish that church in Rome. To this day, we don't know who did, but we know it was there. Those Christians knew Paul was coming, and they met him at a place called the Three Taverns. Long story short, Paul ends up in Rome in his own rented house, and Rome has given him a soldier to watch him, but turns out to be he's a security guard. Paul is holding Bible classes. Folks are coming to visit with him to provide for his needs. And, yes, he gets his audience, even though it's not written in the Bible. Rome don't let nobody go. Paul did get his audience with Caesar and got a chance to tell him that you're guilty and your whole nation for having put Jesus on the cross. Well, since the Romans do not care about any of their religious ideas and things, this meant nothing to Rome. As you read through the book of Acts, you'll see they've kept bringing Paul up on charges, trying to take him in front of the Roman magistrates, and they kept telling him, look, these are y'all religious problems. Go settle that crap. We don't have nothing to do with this. Is he paying his taxes? Yes. Is he violating the Pax Romana? No. Then we don't care. And so Paul is released from prison. Now, if you read in the book of Romans, you'll see where he had a desire to go to Spain and preach the word there. And that's where we learned that Paul would not go and try to plant a church where churches were already planted. That's when you know you're looking at a true apostle. A true apostle is a church planter, not a bishop. Okay? He plants a church, appoints a pastor, goes somewhere where there's no church at, and does the same thing over and over and over. He does not become the bishop of all those churches. Now we have to jump off the pages of the Bible for me to come to a close. We don't know if Paul went to Spain as he had a desire to go. We don't know if he made it to what was called at that time Britain, which we call Britain today. But we do know he returned to Rome. We do know that Peter returned to Rome, and you can read about it in both their books, 2 Peter and here in 2 Timothy. They've been rearrested. They've been locked up, but this time they won't be getting out. Peter got out of jail twice, okay, in chapter 5 and in chapter 12 of the book of Acts. He got locked up for preaching the word of God. The devil had him locked up and prepared to be killed twice, but the Lord sent an angel both times and got him out. And now Paul has come to Rome, has gone before Caesar because he appealed to Caesar. He went before Caesar. Nothing happened. He got out. But this time they will not get out. This is A.D. 67. And as I told you in the beginning, the great persecution, imperial persecution by the Roman Empire has begun. And they're picking the leaders. And Paul says this, the time of my death is near. Why? Because this is A.D. 67. The persecution started in 64. You only need to attend our Christian history class to find out what the Roman historian Cornelius Tacitus says to what they were doing to Christians. They were tying coats of animal skins on them and making them fight lions. They were putting them into the Colosseum, making them fight gladiators. They were wrapping them up in rags, soaking them in oil, impaling them on poles, lighting them up to light the night. They were being drawn and quartered. They were being stretched out and cut into pieces. And each piece, they would cut off a hand and say, do you denounce Jesus? They would say no. They would cut off the other hand. Do you denounce Jesus? They would say no. And they just kept cutting and cutting and cutting and saying, do you denounce Jesus? And they said no. And now Paul and now Peter both faced the same thing. When it was told to Peter that today you're going to be crucified, what's your last wish? Peter said, I am not worthy to die like my Lord. And he requested that they crucify him upside down. Now, Peter was crucified because he was not a Roman citizen, just like Jesus, but not like Jesus, upside down. Now, Paul, being a Roman citizen, when they told him, this is your last day, when Paul said, the time of my death is near, he had probably been told, you're going to have your head chopped off. That's what they would do to Roman citizens. Okay, I guess that was a dignified death. And so the death between a Roman citizen and non-citizen was different, but they both ended up the same. This is what we want to be able to say when we know we're going to, when it's time for us to get ready to go home. We want to be able to say like Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me. The crown of righteousness. Read about that in Revelation chapter 4. We all get one. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, brothers and sisters. It's not just for you, brothers and sisters. But it's for all who eagerly look forward to Jesus coming back. Are you looking forward to Jesus coming back, or is your work undone? Has your life been poured out like a drink offering before God? Amen. So we spent some time talking about two great men of the Bible. Amen. Peter and Paul. And all the people that God brought alongside them to evangelize the Roman Empire. Two men. Do you have that power to attract people to you? Do people want to come alongside you and be involved in what you're doing because you're doing a great work? Nehemiah was that kind of man when he went back to build the wall. Those people came to his side to be involved in what Nehemiah describes as a great work. Are you doing a great work? That people, our own deaconess, Kathy Clyburn, she has her own show, Bring Back the Family. You need to catch the recorded show. All you need to go is go to Running for Christ Ministries, rfcm.org, click on RFCM Events, click on Bring Back the Family. There's a link there. It will take you straight to her page. Hit the BTR player, and you can hear last Friday's show. But people have come alongside her to help her make flyers, to help be interviewed on the show, to come in like she has me to do at the end of the show. Jesus said, I'm involved because I love what she's doing. That's the way it was with Paul. That's the way it was with Peter. That's the way God wants it to be with all of us. Our assistant pastor, Janice Tate, has her own ministries called Bondage Breakers. And folks have come alongside her because they like the work that she's doing. What are you doing to attract people to you? Amen. I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, Peter / disciple / apostle, the Apostle Paul. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We want to thank you, Father, for sharing with us what you did. You didn't tell us all about Peter and all about Paul, but we have a Bible. And we have much material that we can go and look at to help us know more about these two people. We thank you for them, Father, because they are an example to us of what a life lived for you looks like. We see what they were like before they were saved, straight hellions. But after they came to you, we see what they were like. They were all in. Paul was a tent maker by trade. Peter was a fisherman by trade. But you don't read about that. What you read about, Father, is how they spread your word everywhere they went. We want to be like that. We want to be able to say like Paul, I fought a good fight. I finished the faith. And we can know, as you said, Jesus, in 2 Corinthians 6 and 5 and 10, you said that we should all know that we'll stand before you to give an account of the deeds done in this body, whether good or bad. We're not coming there to figure out if we're going to heaven or hell. We're coming there to figure out how much you're going to pay us for the work we did while we was here. How much treasure did we actually lay up in heaven? We want to be like Paul. We want to be like Peter. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. We want to be like that, Lord. But we have to do it. Help us to do it so that when we know our time has come to an end, or if our time comes to an end without us knowing it, we'll be ready. We'll be ready. In your name, Jesus, we ask it all. Amen.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so we know it's the details for me. And all of what you have given us, we know, is a small fraction of all the information and the studying that you have taken in about Peter and about Paul. I mean, when we think about, when I think about Noah and Abraham and Job, righteous, you know, God made, you know, promises to them. And then when we think about, you know, Jesus and he had his disciples, they walked with him for 3 years. And then we get Paul, who was a persecutor of the Christian church and, you know, had Stephen stoned and went completely against the people of the way, the church, the Christian church. And he ends up being the most awesome apostle. Didn't walk with Jesus, didn't have anything to do with that, was persecuting Christians like crazy, and yet he becomes the ultimate apostle. How amazing is it? And if you don't get anything else out of what Pastor preached today, that no matter where you are in your life, no matter what you're doing in your life, if you don't belong to Christ, but you confess him, he will transform your life. He will change your life. He will use you, and he will work in you, and he will work through you, so that not only are you an awesome apostle, an awesome teacher, but that he can use you to be a conduit of God's word, and people will come alongside you, and you won't be a cul-de-sac like Dr. Tony Evans talked about, being a conduit and not and giving, you know, Christ to others and not just being a cul-de-sac and just keeping your Christianhood and Christianness to yourself. You know, wow. Pastor has been talking about Paul for the last couple of weeks. And like I said, just the details of what's been given to us is a small portion of all of what Pastor O has had to take in his studies in order to bring us the words that he's brought to us today. So, Pastor O, we thank you so much. We are so grateful for you and the time that you take. Like, you're like the ultimate pastor. You're not just, I study what God wants me to bring out for this Sunday's word, and now we're on to something else. No, this is years and years and years of study and breaking down and reading and learning. And so we're just so grateful for the time that you always take to do that in order to bring us the best at Run for Christ Ministries. And so we're so very grateful. We thank you for the word that you have brought to us on today. Amen? Amen. It's Sunday, y'all. Happy Sunday. Just by way of announcement, again, under normal circumstances, if we were in the building, we would have had Sunday school begin at 9 a.m. and our children would be downstairs at 10. But we still had our Sunday school this morning, and it was awesome. Amen. So we thank Deacon Tate for bringing us the amazing Sunday school class that we had today. We look forward to, you know, being back in the building soon to be in person, but God knows best. And so in the meantime, we're thankful for Blog Talk Radio, where we still have this platform to be able to still have our services and not miss a beat. Amen. Amen. Just a couple of reminders. Every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own, as you heard, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, Pastor mentioned it, she's on Blog Talk Radio with her show entitled Bring Back the Family. So don't forget to tune in. Give her your support. It's okay if you don't listen live. Everything's recorded. So go back and listen to it if you can't tune in. Amen? Also, don't forget our church history class happens on Mondays at 6 p.m. Of course, the teacher is Pastor O. The textbook for the class is The Church That Jesus Christ Built, and it is written by Pastor O. We're still early on. We're just like going into like maybe our, I think it's our second or third chapter in the actual book, so it's not too late. It's never too late to get in. So if you need the book because you want to participate, visit Pastor O's website, pastorgmo.com, pastorgmo.com, and you can still get a book for the class. If we were in church, you could see Sister Sheila. So the best way right now is to visit Pastor's website, again, pastorgmo.com, if you would like to participate in our church history class that happens on Mondays at 6 p.m. Again, if for whatever reason you can't attend the live classes, all the classes will be recorded and posted on our church website weekly at rfcm.org. Just go to the Bible classes link and then click on History of the Christian Church Recorded at a time that is most convenient for you. And then we know we're all busy, so the beautiful thing is you can get in where you fit in because everything here on Blog Talk Radio is recorded, archived, and best of all, it's free. Amen? Amen. Also, don't forget on every Wednesday at 6 p.m. we have our Bible reading class. The questions are available by email if you are on Pastor's email list or online, again, church website. Excuse me, rfcm.org. Just click on the Bible classes tab. Obviously, when we're in the building on Sunday, we all know what's up with the back table. The questions will be back there too. But for now, for this Wednesday, you can most definitely go to our church website and get the classes to be able, the questions to be able to participate in class on Wednesday. Amen. Also on Saturdays, beginning at 11:30 a.m., Bondage Breaker Ministries holds a women's Bible class. Amen. This is, as Pastor mentioned, Pastor Janice Tate's ministry. And so every Saturday she has her women's Bible class. So if you would like to participate, please make sure to get in contact with Pastor Janice Tate. I believe you can participate over the phone or virtually as well as in person. So if you'd like to take advantage of that every Saturday at 11:30 a.m., please get in contact. Tithes and offerings online, again, rfcm.org. is the place to go. Just click on tithes and offerings, amen, and you'll be able to handle all of your business there. The Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and with everyone else that we are enabled to help through your consistent and generous giving. We do have a list of agencies / ministries that we help. So, again, our church website is the place to go to get that information. So please don't forget to check out our church website. Again, say it with me, rfcm.org. It has come a long, 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 long way. Amen. Pastor puts a lot of work. I don't know how he does what he does in the course of a day. He watched TV. He watched movies. He studies the Bible. He puts out posts. He sends out emails. I don't know how he does it. But praise God that he does. Amen. So we know that Pastor puts a lot of work into the church website, and it has so much information, jobs, classes, services, resources, all types of information on there. So bless yourself on purpose. Amen. Bless yourself on purpose, and please make sure to check out our website at rfcm.org. I know, I believe Pastor mentioned, there are over 200 and something jobs posted on the website. People are getting hired. You know, we're teaching, learning, and doing, amen? And the doing part is to make sure that we're not just helping ourselves, but we're helping others. So even if you may think you don't need anything on the actual website, please go and visit it because there may be information on there that you can pass along to others, especially the jobs. There's lots of jobs on there. You're talking 200-plus jobs. That is absolutely amazing. Craigslist probably don't have that many jobs available. So just check the information out and bless yourself on purpose and bless somebody else who may need the information as well. Amen? Amen. So we always want to shout out all of our mothers at Run for Christ Ministries. We love them. We affectionately call them our mothers on the move. Amen. Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. We always have at least one of them holding it down for all of them every Sunday while we're in the building. And we know that, you know, it's easier to listen virtually. So I know we have at least one of our mothers listening this morning, if not more. So we love them and we're so thankful for them. Please keep them in your prayers, of course, as well as all of our members at Running for Christ Ministries. Special prayers go out to Nico Gaston, who is in South Shore Hospital. Also for John McFall, who's home recovering. Normally at the church, you know, we have our list for altar call. So kind of just envision that list and just add to it whoever you need to. Amen. We know the list of things and people to pray for is something that's inexhaustible. Amen. Amen. So as a bereavement announcement, For those of you who may not know, we are so very sorry to announce the passing father of our church, Tyrone Hamilton. Amen. We're sorry to announce his passing, but we know, like Pastor told us today, our loved ones that go home to be with the Lord are very much alive. Amen. And so we're so thankful for his life and his legacy. Mother Cheryl, unfortunately, you know, dealing with COVID, and so she was unable to be by his side. And so we know there's an extra added stress there. So please just continue, as Pastor Terrence Tate prayed in his prayer, to keep Mother Cheryl and the Hamilton family and the overall family lifted up in prayer. Arrangements will be forthcoming, and as you know, once I get the information, I will be able to announce that to everyone. So just keep all of those who are mourning, grieving, and bereaved in your prayers and lift it up to the Lord. Amen. Amen. So on a lighter note, it's the month of October. Amen. So we just want to say happy birthday to Pastor Terrence, who celebrated on the 9th, Pastor Janice, who celebrated on the 10th, both Quinaya and Deaconess Loretta, excuse me, celebrated on the 15th.